Hare Krishna. Question from a Bhakta Mike who asks for me to comment on the topic of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and how these things drive our social and economic decision making and behavior. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are the natural propensities of every living entity. And certainly we have a social structure as well as a economic one dependent on whether we're Vaishnavas or not. The issue is how much emphasis is given on this four things. That will determine what type of society and economic structure that we have. In terms of Vaishnav thought and what we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, a person should keep these things to a minimum and control these things, not be driven by these things, but limit them. However, in the world that we live in, everyone is driven by eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And the idea is that you can have more and more of these things in newer and newer ways. In other words, unlimited eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And because of that, the economic situation as well as the social situation becomes completely corrupted by this. So in short, or in one word, greed for eating more and different things and sleeping in bigger and bigger houses and all kinds of, what to speak of, sex life. Of course, defense is something, it's not really defense, it's more offending rather than defending, all kinds of offensive wars that are going on. These things really drive the social economic machinery, because greed is the underlying thing. Therefore, there's no end to social and economic needs and their attempts to grow, as a result of which we're destroying the planet that we live in and we're destroying our own souls. So for us, in terms of our practice and in terms of our preaching, Ishava Samidam Sarvam, everyone should recognize what their quota is, which may be different for different people, and be satisfied with that. And that the economic and social standards should be set up to match what we need and not what we want. And when we do that, then we'll actually have a normal lifestyle, a lifestyle that isn't either self-destructive or destroys our environment and the people around us, but it's something that really is sustainable. Sustainability means what you need, not what you want. Shilpa Kayani wants to hear about preaching in Turkey. I've put on quite a few podcasts when I go there. And without getting into the details of sort of our strategy, we have a nice center in Istanbul. But as other people everywhere in the world, Turkish people are spirit souls. And whatever their culture and religion, when they hear the absolute truth of Krishna consciousness, to understand how you're not this body, but your spirit soul, that God is a supreme person, then the truth rings true, and they become attracted, and they practice Krishna consciousness. And that's the method of preaching everywhere. People are really starving to hear the truth, and when we tell them the truth, then they become, we may package the truth in different ways, but when we tell them the truth, then they become relieved. Prana Balaba asks about nicknames. He says that very often devotees are calling each other by nicknames. Damodar becomes Damo, Govinda becomes Govi, Yudhisthira becomes Yudi. He says, well, where would Ajamil be if he was calling his son Nari or Yani rather than Narayan? And he has a point there. Part of our Sankirtan is to call each other by the very nice spiritual names that we have, because by hearing them, we become purified. By saying them, we become purified. And the same result will not be there when we simply use nicknames. I would suggest that that is devotee's general practice. Having said that, it is a fact that Srila Prabhupada would sometimes call devotees by nicknames. He would call Tamal Krishna Maharaj Tamal, and from what I knew, that sometimes Prabhupada and his godbrothers, they had some nicknames for each other. But that should be the exceptional case. Rather, we should keep principles as principle, and that is that kirtaniya sadahari, wherever we can do sankirtan, we should do that. And one form of sankirtan is calling each other by our spiritual names. And Pranabalva's second question is that there's a saying that you behave like a devotee, and in due course of time, you'll become one. So he says, well, how do we keep from being a robot, and what does it really mean, conscious behavior which brings about that type of change? So it's a fact that it's easier to control, for instance, our senses than it is to purify our heart. Or rather, it's something that you can do much quicker. The purification of heart, or to eradicate bad habits, takes time through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. But in the meantime, by conducting ourselves in a certain way, by behaving in a certain way, that then at least allows us to act like Vaishnavas, and that conduct or behavior is favorable for purification of the heart, because it's the conduct of the mode of goodness. So, for instance, even though our tendency may not be to be very clean, but if we force ourselves to be clean, then the natural cleanliness, the spontaneous cleanliness which comes from cleansing our heart, will come all that much quicker by being situated, practicing devotional service in the mode of goodness. And of course, will be much more attractive to other people, and will be much more Vaishnav-like, and avoid those type of things that come from the lower modes of material nature, including committing offenses. So yes, wear the uniform will show you what to do. So practice being a Vaishnava, and in the same time, while practicing being a Vaishnava, cultivate the inner practices, those things that purify the heart, and that will certainly accelerate us being Vaishnavas and spontaneously, naturally act as such. For the definition of Sadachar is the conduct of pure-hearted Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.